Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
All right, honky tonk.
All right, what's that? You've been watching The Wire or something? All right.
That was just my usual voice.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
It's normally just a sigh.
I've got a bit of a something in my throat.
What do you think that is? What have you been eating?
I had an energy bar.
Yeah.
I had a. It's got dates and it's got I think raisins in it or something.
Yeah.
It's probably a reaction to that.
Yeah.
Your body's probably rejected it.
Well, you didn't buy that in Sunderland, did you?
I did, actually.
Did you?
They sell it in the supermarkets in the Sainsbury's.
Is there one, like, Whole Foods shop that's under an arm
guard?
There's
an aisle. There's one aisle. Well, yeah. Quarter of an aisle in Sainsbury's that sells that stuff.
Well, more fool you, Andrew. More fool you.
Thank you, Bob.
Look, you know, we haven't done one for a while, one of these podcasts.
No, is it your fault or is it my fault?
I think it's my fault. I know it's my fault.
Yeah.
It's... 150% my fault.
Yeah.
But nevertheless...
Good. I'm pleased you've admitted to that.
I think, you know, like, we should give it a new start and maybe instead of the sigh,
right.
Maybe you could give me something a bit more uplifting, like the sound of something from the circus or the fun fair. Something to get
right.
The listeners' blood rushing,
okay.
You know what I mean?
We'll start again then. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, no, that is better. All right, I wish I'd never asked them. I was thinking more like the, you know, the clown's horns.
Right, yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe next week.
Or like a traveller, a tinker, him shouting on the waltzers, you know.
Yeah.
Careful, love.
Yeah.
No, careful, love. It'd be more like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or the sizzling of the burgers.
Mm.
Those lovely funfair burgers.
How do you do a sizzle noise?
Yeah, it's easy, it's easy. It's a bit Hannibal Lecter.
Hey, it's like we've never been away.
Or the one I like, especially at the funfair, this is like observation comedy,
yeah.
Is but where you go off the beaten track a bit and you get into a little area where there's it smells of diesel.
I don't like this.
And it's quite hot and there's a generator going...
Yeah.
I like that area. I always seek that out.
And there's a tinker there with a teenage girl doing something you shouldn't
Hey.
Be. What?
Grooming.
Well, if that's what you want to call it.
The ping of the air rifle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like that game best. I once went to Port Aventura. I think you know it, Andy.
I've been there.
And my kids wanted the big, big... Woody Woodpecker,
right.
You know, about 3-4 foot, in one of those games where you throw a ball, a ping pong ball, and it
right.
has to land in a jar.
Yeah.
And they got obsessed with it. So I spent a week, for 5 days, going on that about every hour whilst they went off.
Right.
And I did win a Woody Woodpecker.
And how many euros did you spend?
Well, I can't, we knew at the time, but I think I spent something like 200 quid on it.
Yeah?
Honestly.
For a massive Woody.
You know, as you do as a dad.
You know, they do them in the gift shop for like 40 euros.
Shit, they bought an Espanol top there as well. They got, do you know what it's like? And the kids get obsessed with stuff on holiday. And you say, no, you can't have it. It's 70 euro or whatever.
Yeah.
But it kind of gets to you and you know you're neglecting them really. Because
yeah.
you're just letting them go off and do their own thing. So you think you can buy their love?
I think that's what it is.
And so I bought an Espanol top.
Espanol?
Yeah, Espanol. Like, you know, like the kids, they liked it. The blue and white stripes appealed to them. You know
oh,
what I mean?
The football team. Espanol.
What did I say?
Espanol. A dog. Top for a dog.
I bought them an Espanol.
Hey, before we go any further, I think we should alert the boys and girls' attention to the live shows that we're doing in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks' time.
It might be less than that. We're doing Brighton on the 18th of July. We're doing Bristol on the 19th. Not many tickets left for that one. Leicester on the... You know, I've got them dates wrong.
Well, whatever, we're doing them.
Brighton, Bristol, Leicester, 19th to the 21st. I mean, be there.
Let's be honest. Let's be proud of ourselves.
Why should we be
Andy?
Honest?
No, let's be honest and say we've done about 12 of these already.
Yeah.
And it's an incredibly funny show.
It is a cracking show, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, if you miss it, it's up to you. It's
You're
up
an
to
arsehole
you,
if you miss it.
It's such a that's good show. I think. 15 quid.
So that's, just to reiterate, that's Brighton, Bristol and Leicester. Middle of July, go to athleticomince.com for more info.
In Sunderland, Andy, I've been meaning to ask this for ages. Do you actually have flying birds, or is it just mainly like the flying ants and wasps, that sort of stuff? Do you actually get birds there, feathered birds?
What do you mean by birds?
Feathered, you know, like, I don't know, by the look in your face, you don't get them, do you?
I'm not sure what you mean.
You know, spuggies and crows.
We have a lot of smog.
Yeah?
So they might be up there, I don't know.
Yeah, you just never look up, do you? You
no.
Lads, you're just looking down.
Always.
Looking down on the ground, trying to see some of those famous crunchy Sunderland ants that you can capture and sprinkle on your chicken dippers.
Okay.
Yeah? Is right. That the way? Well, look, you'll want a name.
I need a name.
You know?
I'm nothing without a name.
So you can, of course, be Ronnie Hot Dogs.
Okay.
Right? But would you like to be Jackie Potatoes?
It's a bit of a twist on Ronnie Hot Dogs, isn't it?
Well, it's Jackie. It's Jackie Potatoes. It stands on its own. Andy, it sounds a bit like Jacket Potatoes, doesn't it?
Oh, it makes more sense now you've explained that. Yeah, I'm not keen though.
It sounds light-hearted, Andrew.
Yeah.
But hear me out. You say you're not keen, but he got his name because when he lamps you, you go down like a sack of spuds. He's a debt collector.
Right.
Just interested?
Not really. No,
okay. Well. Here's something that I thought would be funny, so I wrote it down, and I've forgotten to delete it, right? But fuck it.
It's so good. So,
what goes best with a jacket potato? Shoe pastry?
Yeah.
Trouser gammon? You know, I should have crossed it out, but I've been brave enough to say it. Leslie Collins, you could be. Leslie Collins. Now, he's 65.
Yeah.
Lives in a bungalow. He's a UKIPper.
Have you just got these out of the phone book this week?
No, he's a UKIPper.
Right.
Got a really well-fed lawn.
Yeah.
He's got two solar panels, right? One of those machines in his garage that shagged you.
Is it solar powered?
And he's slowly going insane. So that's Leslie Collins.
He's more appealing than Jackie Potatoes.
Okay, but you know with me, Andy, there'll be a third.
There's always a third
and
one.
And here it comes.
Here it comes.
Tits McVitie. Right?
Okay.
He's a bit like John McCrillick.
Right.
Right? In that he stinks of digestive biscuits.
Intolerable.
Right.
Intolerable man.
Yeah, he's a sales rep for Atora, the suet company.
Right.
So
This feels more like my remit.
Tits McVitie.
Tits McVitie. Tits McVitie.
Hello, Tits McVitie.
Yeah. Tits McVitie it is then.
Okay.
Thank you, good. Can I just re-establish your credentials as the memory man,
God,
as we've been away for quite a while now?
Do you think I'm scared of that?
Well, you might be scared of this one.
Go on.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the first person to spread butter on a Weetabix?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't even need the clue.
No, I know that.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Memory Man.
Thank you very much. The Memory Man. Look, what would that be in French?
L'homme de mémoire.
Yeah, something like that. Wife's questions are ready and they're hot.
Bring them in.
Here they come. Hello, Andrew.
Yep.
Whatever. Is there anywhere in Sunderland,
Christ,
that you could buy a luxury item such as a knife and a fork or a towel or an ornament? Or do the shops there just sell buckets?
Argos. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah?
Argos.
You've got an Argos.
There's two Argoses. Argai? Is that the plural of Argos?
I always used to think it was amusing to pretend some of the Greek islands were Argos, Tesco's.
Right.
There is another one, but I can't remember, another supermarket.
Yeah, you probably should have deleted that one as well.
In your bungalow, Andrew,
yep,
how do you get rid of the famous Sunderland ants? Once destroyed, do you dry them and sprinkle them on your chicken dippers? Well, I've mentioned that already, but
yeah,
it's a direct question to you.
Oh, God. I usually spray them with... What's that stuff called?
Ant killer.
No, no, the cheaper stuff.
Ant hammers, tiny little ant hammers.
Oh, God. Airwick?
You spray them with fucking Airwick?
Airspray. Hairspray. That, no, Airwick.
I would almost go South African in that. You sprayed them with fucking Airwick?
And then I batter them with the next catalogue.
Yeah. Do you... My last house I lived in, I suffered from it. Do you have that week where there's flying ants come out in your house?
Not in the house, no.
I had them in my conservatory. Technically, actually, an orangery, actually.
Oh.
Technically, okay, an orangery.
Lovely.
And for a week, it was like a cloud of them. And we had ant hammers.
Did you have your oranges in the orangery?
No, that's not what an orangery is. Oh. I don't know what an orangery is, but I know what it isn't.
But you know what you had.
Final question from the wife.
Already?
I see, by the way, you're wearing a rugby kit in honour of the Lions.
Yes,
so you're big on the rugger, are you?
Love the rugger.
Yeah?
You call me a rugger bugger, if you like.
Do you like sing all the dirty songs and and shout at the lasses?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we, you know, get your anus out for the lads?
All of that. I throw my pint up in the air and I sometimes catch some of it. Sometimes I'm not arsed if it hits the floor.
Lovely rugby. Do you sometimes go to a rugby disco, say at the rugby club, and wear a kilt and like pogo?
And dance on the table.
That sort of thing.
And then throw up in the car park.
Yeah, rugby, rugby, rugby.
And have a fight with my brother.
Yeah. Hey, listen, final question. I'm being rude to my wife here, really. Is it true that if you go to the butchers in Sunderland and ask for dog bones, that's exactly what you get?
Bones of a dog.
Just ask a question, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never analysed the dog bones. And I don't ask.
Yeah. You always
for something so low price, you never ask, do you, where it comes from? Like a tin of hot dogs, you don't know what that is, do you?
Oh, I think we do.
Well, we know
I think
we do.
It's 8 inches of pure fucking genius.
We don't ask what it is, though.
No, I had an hot dog at Arsenal Stadium, Emirates Stadium.
Yeah, good,
as they
bad,
call it.
Indifferent.
It was the worst hot dog
really?
I've ever had. What it was like was
I bet
like,
you've had a few as well.
I fucking have, Andy. What it was like it drew you in because of the size of it.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it was like, can you imagine a balloon that was the shape of a hot dog?
Yeah.
Yeah? You blew it up.
Yeah.
And you filled it just with water. And then bit into it. Terrible it was. I was there in a box.
Right. In a
watching,
cardboard box?
No, in... no, in, you know, like a box.
An executive area?
Yeah, a box.
Yeah.
Matt Lucas had a box there, went to see the
name
borough.
Name dropping?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean,
who else have you met that's famous?
I don't feel I'm names dropping when I say Matt Lucas, do you know what I mean?
By my standards, you are.
Oh, I suppose. Who's your most famous mate up there? Do you know the bloke who runs the bookies? Or
Jimmy Neal.
You know Jimmy Neal?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I've seen him on the telly. That counts, doesn't it?
I went for a meeting with Jimmy Nail once in a tiny little office in Soho, yeah?
Right, a tiny little office?
Yeah, it was tiny. He's a big fella as well. But
I was going to say, yeah.
Massive. And
did he book the room specifically that size to intimidate you?
Well, funnily enough, I do wonder about that, Andy, because it was really small, right?
Yeah.
And me and Jim were sat one end, I can't remember the table, and he wanted us to write a sitcom for him about Adrian's Wall, yeah?
Right.
But as soon as we sat down, he put his feet up on the table, right, with his long Geordie legs.
Dominating the space.
Yeah, and these brogues that he had on, but size 14 or something, were literally
I bet he only takes
just
a 10.
In front, you know, I mean, what, two, 18 inches in front of us?
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, what would you call it, like intimidate?
Yeah, definitely brogue. Dominating the room, yeah, brogue intimidation. Yeah.
So all we could see was the bottom of his feet.
Had he drawn faces on them?
We had to look. It said... You shit. One, anyway, look, I've finished my wife's questions.
Well, I've got some questions from me kids, but before we do that, can we have a little musical interlude? Because I'm sorry to announce that I've been in the studio again.
Great.
And I've done
that's
another
great,
song.
Andy.
It's this one is about fake tan, so I'll just play it for you.
If you are a man, you need to have a plan. A plan to get ahead. You need a fake tan. Fake tan! It could come in a bottle. It could come in a spray. You just splash it all over until go on your way. Fake tan! 10 hundred feet tall.
What do you think of that, Bob?
You know, I like the end line very much in that, but it's too long.
I think we can
it's too long.
I think we can safely say that I've done it again.
Well,
do you think that's the fairest?
Again?
Well, whatever you want to call it.
Well, no, I do. I don't know what the end game is with your sparse Germanic electro tales, Andy.
It's purely about making money.
How are you going to make money out of that?
Well, I could sell them on iTunes,
couldn't I? Sell them, but the key is whether anyone will buy them.
I could get some kind of deal with a fake tan company and get an advert campaign out of it.
Hey, I tell you what, I might pay you to stop fucking doing them.
Well, fair enough. Here's my questions from me kids, right? My kids have done questions for you this week.
All right.
I'm not naming them because of privacy reasons.
I presume because you're from the northeast, they're called Callum and Connor.
Well, they are actually, yeah. Right, this is from Callum. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, Bob? Dead or in jail again?
Good question, Callum. Good question. I've only been in jail once, and that was for smashing a laundrette window to pieces.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because Callum said, he said, has Bob been in jail before? And I said, I don't think he has, but he was working under the assumption you'll go to jail at some point in the next 5 years, get released, and then end up back in there again.
I mean, I think 5 years is a very good choice by Callum, because I think if you're a betting man, any of the betting sites, Paddy Power, 365s, all them.
We're sponsor-free in this episode. You can name them all if you like. It means nothing.
Right, so I think 5 years might be the favourite for when I drop. So I'm going to say to Callum, I see myself deceased.
Okay. Sad answer, but, you know, honest. Second one, this one's from Connor. Is the sun our friend or our enemy?
The sun in the sky.
The sun in the sky, not the newspaper.
Are your kids doing some fucking course at school on environmentalism or something?
Connor's three.
Right, well, they start young, don't they, these environmentalists?
So. He's quite a deep thinker, I think. If you think about it, is the sun our friend or our enemy?
Right, I'm having to think about this, which is dead time, but you've thrown me a bit with that. The sun, I love the sun, so he's my friend. I know he's got a dangerous side to him and all that.
Yeah, but you're going to say friend.
Like the lasses are drawn to Joey Essex.
Yeah.
Not Joey Essex, the bad lads.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to the sun in a similar way.
Right, because you know that eventually it'll destroy
us. I know
us,
eventually. But
you can't help loving it.
But you have such a good time.
Fair enough. They both worked on this one, Connor and Callum. Bob, are you aware that Tenor Lady pads are now available for men as well, or do you just still use a Pampers newborn nappy that you've cut in half?
Well, Andrew, you've told me. I wonder what you've been saying to your kids, because you know I have a leaky ass. And I use Tenors for a while, but they've got this sticky stuff on them that gets caught in your it's a bit of a mess. So all I do is I roll up a great big piece of toilet roll.
Yeah.
Clasp it between me cheeks.
Yeah.
Pull me undies up and get on with me life. And then occasionally it falls out at the wrong time.
Yeah. You try and avoid sudden movements, I imagine.
Well,
stairs.
I'm just stood there maybe at Oxford debating with Lady Caroline Baxter about the euro or whatever.
Yeah.
And a fucking toilet roll with Todd on it drops out of my
pocket. Rendering your argument futile.
No, it's at that point I say, I rest my case as I point at it. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But Steve McLaren,
yeah, what's he been up to?
Well, Steve's looking for a job, of course, after doing his destroying exit at Derby.
He's not looking too hard, though, I imagine.
He's
sitting pretty.
He's in
financially
the,
wise.
He's sitting well, exactly. He's sitting pretty because he got a fortune from Derby, and mainly he thinks, I tell you what, I'm going to spend some quality time with Casper.
Right.
He did get an interview for the Sunderland job. For the Sunderland job. It's what he called Ellis Shorts.
That's right.
Well, Ellis, he wanted to meet him up in...
You know he's an American, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And he owns the Carnegie Club, Sligo Castle. It's where Madonna and Shane Ritchie got married.
Yep.
And he wants to meet him up there. Says he'll take him up by helicopter.
Right.
Right. But he thinks, no, I've promised this time's for Casper, and Casper loves his trains, loves Thomas the Tank Engine and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he said, I'm going to get the sleeper up there, and it may be a real treat for Casper. So he puts Casper in his travel bag, a few things to keep Casper occupied, you know, his chalks, his little bath plug that he really likes, his boing boing button, and his little trains. And he's got some little pictures, you know, of the Stoke defensive midfielders, you know, Whelan, Bardsley, Charlie Adam.
Yeah.
Really likes them. They get to King's Cross. Steve goes to the machine where you get your ticket. And whilst he's doing that, a Welsh bloke comes up to him and says, hello, Mr. McLaren. I think a pigeon feather has fallen from the roof onto your front of your head, innit, boyo? Oh, don't be daft, you Roderick of Plonkersville. That's me Hare Island. Once was a manager had a wonderful idea to design a carpet tile all other brands would fear. He sketched around his hairline with reddish ginger ink, then stood on his head on the carpet tile by the sink. It produced a Hair Island tile, a Hair Island tile. It's me Hair Island, you wombat. So, the bloke asks him for a selfie. Steve obliges. A bloke says, where you off to then, lovely innit, boyo? I say, I'm getting the sleeper to Scotland. That's a funny way to say it, isn't
it? It is, yeah.
But the fella didn't laugh anyway. He says, the sleeper leaves from Euston. You're in the wrong station. Oh, God, he thinks. He's right. Oh, raspberries, says Steve. Oh, raspberries. Come on, Casper. Picks up his bag, but it's really light. Casper isn't in it. Casper! Casper, you Rodney! Casper, where are you? He's really worried. Specifically, he's really worried that he's gone to platform 9.5 and he's on a train to Hogwarts. That's right. A worry. That would be a worry, wouldn't it? So he runs around asking people. Have you seen Casper? Oh, God, Casper. He's a big yellow snake. Have you seen him? Then he goes to the ticket inspector by the platform. Oh, can you help me? I've lost my snake, Casper. Well, the guards, the ticket inspector's Welsh as well. He says, now, calm down, sir. Did you know you've got a chicken hatching out of the top of your head, isn't it, boy? Oh, there's lovely. He says, oh, fuck off, you cheeky... Then his attention is drawn by a whistle being blown on the platform to Welsh train guard. All aboard, there's lovely, innit, boy? Oh. And just as he blows his whistle, he catches a glimpse of a very large lady boarding the train, uh-oh, right? Wearing a pair of stonewashed jeans, uh-oh, from the TU collection at Sainsbury's, a pair of Dunlop trainers from Sports Direct, and a purple anorak from very.co.uk. In her hand is a black bin liner, and there's a trail of, like, some liquid coming from it. The door slams, and she goes in. Could it be, Andy?
I very much think it would be, yes.
Is it the fat lass?
It has to be, surely.
Oh, God. Well, Steve can't take a chance. So he headbutts the ticket collector in his tits, right?
Yeah.
And runs onto the platform. The guard blows his whistle just as Steve turns the handle on the first-class carriage and jumps aboard. He just made it. Good one, Steve. Well, it's all quiet now, you know, like it is in first-class carriages.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean?
No, because I've never been in one.
No, but if you've had to walk through, it's all
quiet. It's very intimidating, isn't it?
Usual big knobs are in there.
Yeah.
Andy, Tommy Walsh, the posh labourer.
Yep.
You know. Greg Wallace, the vegetable stall owner. Yeah. In his black polo neck. He's watching Logan, the werewolf film, on his Mac Surface Pro.
Oh.
So that's nice, isn't it? Then he sees Piers Morgan, you know, the gossip columnist.
Yes.
And he's got his shirt open and he's using, do you know, like those screen wiper things that you scrape ice off?
Yeah.
The windscreen. He's using one of them and he's scraping all the residue and oils off his chest and his stomach, yeah? And then he, like, flicks it into a little tin bucket he's got on the table in front of him.
Is it a bit like the sort of residue you have left in a pan after you fried an egg?
That's a very, very good analogy.
It starts to solidify.
Yeah, and he's just scraping it. He flicks it in this bucket, and then from time to time he takes a sip from this little bucket, you know. And
recycling, that's good.
He says, hello, Stephen, come and join me. And he says, do you think I'm great, Steve? And then he slurps from his little pot. And Steve thinks he'd better say yes. He says, oh, yes, Piers. Then Piers says, do you think girls are thick and that boys are better than girls? And then he slurps from his bucket. And Steve says, well, you know, Piers, I think, you know, they're different. All he can think to say. And then he says, would you like to mould your fingers into my big fat lady's arse and see if you can find a prize? He says, I'm all right, Piers. Honestly, I've lost my snake, Casper. I'd better go look for him. Snake, you say? Tell him I'd love a chat if you find him. Anyway, he then downs what's left in the bucket, shouts over to Greg. Hey, Greg, come here. What do you think of women? Do you think they're thick? So Steve's glad to get out of there, you know, and he goes into the next carriage and he thinks he can hear a boing boing sound. You know, Casper might be pressing his boing boing button.
Boing boing button, yeah.
Yeah. Then he sees the Dunlop trainer stretched out into the gangway. There she is. It's a fat lass, he thinks. He runs up, but he gets a shock. It ain't her, Andy. It's the big lass from Towie, and she's eating crispy fried duck. Lots of it. That must be what was dripping out of the bag.
Right.
Right. And the little dog under the table is the one with the boing boing button, who's pressing the boing boing button. And he says, oh, excuse me, madam, where's this train going? She says, Stoke. He says, Stoke? Fucking Stoke? Are you kidding me? Stoke has got a fucking train station. He said he'd not like him to swear. And then he hears a voice saying hello to him. It's the bloke who took the selfie. And he shows him, Steve, the photo. He's proud of it. And Steve notices there's a train leaving just behind him on the photo, and looking out of the back window is Casper.
Right.
Do you get it? You know, when he took the selfie,
right,
there's a train leaving King's
Shit.
Cross. Yeah. He says, oh, my thruppenny bits, says Steve. Do you know where that train's going? And the man says, Inverness, innit? Inverness, in Scotland? Scotland has got train stations. Oh, Casper, my love, what am I going to do?
Is this end of part one?
That's the end.
We're going to find out. Can I just say, before you ask, that reminded me quite a lot of an episode of Inside Number 9.
Really?
It made you think.
Yeah.
Not many laughs. But it made you think.
I've got you. Well, I was hoping you might say it was a bit like Brief Encounter, but...
Nah, Brief Encounter. I'll tell you what, though, that platform, platform 9.5,
nine and a half,
King's Cross, I often stand and watch the queue and the crowds getting the photos taken and trying on the scarf. And you know what I always think?
What?
Imagine all the fucking germs on that scarf.
Oh, there's just one scarf.
One scarf. They don't bring their own scarf. There's one...
It's a Gryffindor authorized scarf or whatever,
well,
is it?
I don't know what it is, but it's covered in fucking... germs.
Do you watch
fleas.
Harry Potter?
I've never seen any of them, no.
Oh, it's typical of you, that cynical old fucker.
Well, no.
No, I won't watch it. No, I don't watch Star Wars either.
I've watched Star Wars. Yeah. I haven't watched Harry Potter because my daughter watched them. I've got a daughter as well as Connor and the other
So
one.
You wouldn't sit with your daughter and watch Harry Potter?
No, she wouldn't let me.
I like your daughter.
But my son,
like
Connor, or what was the other one?
Callum,
yeah. One of them will be getting into it soon, so I'll watch them then.
Well, I hope you will.
I will. I've been to Harry Potter World at Watford.
I won't watch Lord of the Rings.
No, I won't watch that shit.
See, it's fucking obvious what you want. You know, like, it's so fucking obvious. But I bet you'll go and see, what would you go and see that you think's like ironic and you'd go and see it? Probably
Winnie
something like... No, you probably go to Pixar cartoons and say, to be honest with you, it's fucking funnier than half the comedies they put out there.
Well, yeah.
Of course you'd say that.
They're all really miserable now, Pixar comedies.
Yeah, I've stopped going.
Shite, aren't they?
Well, I went to see a movie like the other week. I wonder what it was. I think it wasn't very good. Wonder Woman I went to
I
see.
Enjoyed Wonder Woman. Yeah. I went to see that.
It's like a feminist thing, isn't it? Sort of thing.
That's good.
I mean, I thought the film was shit, but she was gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm not going to say any more. Can we have a quick game of yes or no behind the door?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you love this one. Now that I've tweaked it and put it behind a door. Right, imagine that door there.
Yeah.
Not that one, the one next to it, right? Imagine behind that door.
Is that your catchphrase? Not that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's catching on, isn't it?
That one there.
That one there. Yeah, that one. Behind that door.
Not that one.
There's loads of reggae.
Reggae?
Yeah, would you go in?
It's like reggae sunsplash behind there.
Just a bit, yeah, just a big load of it.
Big
like a pile of reggae.
Slab of reggae.
Yeah.
Nah, too old for that. Too old for that.
Oh, okay. Second one, yes or no behind the door. An actual dinosaur that's been created by scientists.
Yes.
But it's got the voice of Alan Carr off the telly.
Nah, I'm all right.
You're okay with that?
So, it's not. I'm not. A lot of people would like that. Yeah, but not for
you're
me.
Not fussed. That's not fine. I'm not judging you. Third one, Alan Brazil.
Yes, I'm already interested.
You're already in. Yeah. Hang on. Naked on all fours.
Yeah.
Getting his undercarriage scrubbed by a midget with a wire brush.
I don't like the midget side of things, Andrew.
In general, you don't like midgets?
No, I don't like out of that area dwarfs and midgets.
No?
Yeah, that's what you would be, David Lynch sort of character, won't you?
Did you watch the last episode of Twin Peaks?
No, I didn't. All right, I didn't watch any of them. Why am I going to watch the last one?
Well, I didn't know you had watched any of them. I thought you'd better.
It's just a funny question. Like, I come into, like, say it's a dinner party with Barry, Hormone or whatever, and I say, like, oh, did you watch the last episode of...
Yeah.
Of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? I would if it was say, a specific did you watch episode, Peaky Blinders?
If it was a particularly outstanding episode, you might.
So you're going to say it was great.
So I said, did you watch the Euromillions draw last night?
Is it a surreal metaphor or something?
It was just, it was like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, oh, Wonder Woman. It was a shit movie. She was gorgeous.
Gorgeous last though.
Yeah, gorgeous last though. Couldn't keep my eyes off
her. No, at the beginning when they were all there, all the women.
Oh, God.
I couldn't stand up, Bob.
No, but I'm glad they've made something a bit of feminine, strong female lead role.
I've enjoyed it immensely.
I think that's important. I thought Robin, the one from, what's she called, Robin Smith or something? The one from...
I don't know their names.
Anyway, she were gorgeous. Yeah.
Did she play two characters?
I don't think so. They look very similar.
I might have just gone cross-eyed with it.
What, watching the feminist movies?
Yeah.
It took your breath away?
It did, yeah.
Just how liberating.
I went in on a Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock by myself.
Yeah.
So I could just embrace all the feminism.
Okay.
Not get put off.
So have we done with your yes, no?
Yeah, that's the end of it,
because
yeah.
I satisfactorily answered. I will go in.
Right.
Because I want to see Alan Brazil.
Yeah.
Right, the magnificence of it, right? But I'm telling you, for now, I'd probably kick the dwarf in its tits. And you know, I don't even think you're allowed to use those words that we've just used, Andrew.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, Barry Homeowner here. Have you seen those new Hive thermostats? You can, as it were, literally control your home from your phone. I can create a hotspot for my Japanese ha-ha tree to flourish. It's such a talking point.
Is the ha-ha tree on wheels? Is it remote controlled?
No, it's on a silver salver. Hey, I've got solar panels, you know, send the money back to the grid.
Yeah.
I'm literally taking the direct piss out of the energy industry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got that self-cleaning glass in my windows. The molecular structure is so complex the water is actually repelled, you know, like a magnet.
Right.
I'm literally bringing the window cleaning industry to its fucking knees. I swear
down. By fucking time.
Got a dinner party tonight with Jeff and Erica. We're having lasagna! Yeah, we're going to dress a bit like Abigail's Partridge.
Huh? Ironically, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope no one dies.
Hey, I've got a wireless camera giving me a 24-hour feed direct to my smartphone of the exterior of my home. I'm literally the police's number one asset on my estate.
Have they told you that? Have they given you a certificate?
They don't fucking need to. It's the looks they give me.
Yeah. You know what? I was at Glastonbury last week, Bob.
Yeah.
For the whole weekend, the whole caboodle. Have you ever been?
I've been once, yeah.
It's amazing,
twice.
Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Amazing.
It was amazing for me. Before you get into the rub of it, I've got two Glastonbury stories.
Okay.
And I'll be very quick with them. I played five-a-side, celebrity five-a-side.
Yep.
And I was in the team versus The Cult, the rock band The Cult.
Right.
And what's the guitarist called?
Billy Duffy.
Billy Duffy. I took him out after 3 minutes. You can check this with your friend James Brown, because he was playing for The Cult, actually.
Right.
I took him out and got sent off. Right?
Yep.
Got sent off. I was very drunk. And I went under the stands. And I woke up about 2 hours later with a dog dirt, literally like about a millimetre from my nose. Yeah. So I'll never forget waking up and seeing that there. Second Glastonbury story is, I was backstage, you know, with all the bands and that. And one band, I'll tell you the beautiful self.
Right. Okay.
Right. One band, the Mentalists.
Yeah.
Right. And they didn't
They didn't like the other band.
So they said...
What other band?
I'm not saying the name of the other band. So he had a baseball ball...
Yeah.
And he said, Bob, you go and stand in front of their table where they're drinking, and I'll throw this baseball at them.
Don't they all have a separate table, like a carbon
It's
sale.
Outdoor area. He says, pretend you're going to catch it, but I'm just going to take one of them out. And he fucking did. He took them out with his mate. Oh, sorry, mate. Anyways, up. Yeah, you went to Glastonbury.
But I've got a football story as well, a bit similar to your cult one. I was playing football at the kids' school summer fair last weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I'd popped back from Glastonbury.
Right.
For a couple of hours.
Yeah.
For the go to the school summer fair. And there was this, like, 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Playing against us. Yeah, pretty much. I was in goal and he came at us and took a shot as hard as you fucking like.
Yeah.
From about 4 feet away, right into me guts. And you've seen me guts, they're quite substantial, but it hurt.
Did the ball just disappear into it?
Yeah, just got submerged into it. And I just pushed it out again.
No, I think you digested it by osmosis.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I just went Roy Keane on him after that.
Did you?
For the entirety, yeah.
Did you nail
Took him out like Billy Duffy.
And what, again, once when I was in Port Aventura, when my kids were really little, I saw a kid picking on my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went over and I surreptitiously put my full weight onto his foot. I really hurt him. But you get so annoyed. He was picking on me, little boy. You know?
Well, this is what had happened. He picked on Connor.
Had he?
Or Callum before that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought, you know,
Is your dream for Connor and Callum, that they get on Geordie Shore?
It's got to happen, isn't it? Eventually, every Geordie kid gets on there.
Yeah, it won't just be Geordie Shore, it'll be Geordie County.
Place five.
Yeah. Anyway, you were at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I was at Glastonbury. I mean, I only went because Jeremy Corbyn was on, obviously, his big speech, but the rest of it was brilliant. I was right down the front for Corbyn. I had me tight red body stocking on again, but I was wearing a big red arrow on my forehead.
That's nice.
Straight out, pointing forwards to represent the future
that
under Jeremy Corbyn.
That man there is the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope he'd notice me. Maybe he did, couldn't be sure. Anyway, he came on, he did some stuff about the poor.
Yeah.
Some stuff about how he wants to bring back wooden railway sleepers by 2030.
He likes the poor, doesn't he?
He loves the poor, yeah. And then for a bit of light relief after that, he did War of the Worlds.
Oh,
in its entirety.
It.
None of the whole thing.
Oh, shit, they didn't show that on the telly.
With Jeff Wayne and his rock orchestra.
Yeah.
So that was good. So anyway, afterwards, I was wandering around the festival site. I mean, you know, you've been. Did you actually go into the site, or were you backstage all the time?
No, I was on the site, yeah.
Yeah, I was in among it all. It's got everything. While you wait, MOTs.
Yeah.
Mexican food. Hand jobs.
Everything. Oh, excuse me.
This is...
No, it don't.
They're just three of the things I experienced when I was at Glastonbury. Anyway, I popped into the finance
tent. So you have a hand job while your car's having an MOT?
No, different things. It's not that small. Yes, yeah, so I popped into the finance tent for an investment health check with a fella from the HSBC. And I was just heading back to my yurt.
Yeah.
Do you know what a yurt is?
It's like a conical tent.
It's like a big tent, yeah. So I went back there for a nap. And a couple of druids came up to us.
Yeah.
Dressed in brown robes with their hoods over their faces.
I know them, yeah.
And stopped right in front of me, stopped me in my tracks, really. They wouldn't let me past. And one of them says, seen you.
Hold on.
Aye. Corbyn.
Well done.
Yeah. Seen you down the front there in your body stocking. You are the embodiment of both festival culture and socialism, and I'd like to offer you a job.
Shit.
He's warming to me now.
Shit, yeah.
He usually treats me like shit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So then, before I had the chance to see anything or reply, he just puts his fingers up to me lips and he says, "Don't speak or I'll fucking fire you."
Okay.
I hadn't even got the job. He's going to fire me already.
Fire you.
So he holds up a steel tape measure and he says, "I'm taking this thing over next year. Going to rebrand it as Jestonbury."
Right.
"I need you to go around and measure up. Meet me back here in 3 hours with all the measurements. You may now speak, but only if you have something sensible to say."
Right.
So I thought, well, what sort of stuff are you going to have on during Jestonbury, Jez? Is it going to be even better than this? Gesturing around to the whole festival. He says, "Of course it will. I'm taking it old school, back to how it used to be when I first came here in 1970. Spooky Tooth will be headlining the Pyramid Stage, with Gong doing the honours on the other stage. That's it. No other groups. Less dancing, more thinking." So, quite radical.
Yeah.
Compared to what it's like now, because, you know, they have like 20 bands on now.
Yeah.
So I says, "What about on the non-musical entertainment, gesturing at the circus tent that was just to me, right?" He says, "There'll be a milking stool for people to sit on and an artificial cow with a map of the world across its side. Revelers will be able to simulate the milking of Mother Earth and consider what we're doing to the planet. As a vegan alternative to that, there'll be a piece of polythene sheeting for the vegans to sit on, facing some trees."
All right.
He was getting agitated. Excited. Yeah.
Passionate, you could
passionate.
Say. Passionate.
Passionate,
you could say.
"Oh, and Billy Bragg's in charge of the toilets."
Oh, my God.
This is what you'd expect, isn't it, you know? And the other druid at this point lowers his hood. It's Billy Bragg.
It's Billy Bragg.
Bragg prods me in the chest and he says, "Have you ever done a shit down an old boy? You don't look the type."
Mm.
And I mean, I haven't, to be fair. I've never shut down a hole. Anyway, just then there's this weird noise and this fella on a jetpack comes down out of the sky.
Yeah.
Michael Eavis.
Oh, the actual Michael Eavis.
King. Yeah. King of Glastonbury.
Yeah, he's top
of it. Undefeated.
He's top
King
of it.
King of Glastonbury. He says, "What's all this about, then, Corbyn? My spies tell me you're planning a takeover of my Glastonbury." "That's right, Eavis. It's the will of the people." Eva says, "You can't do that. It's my fucking festival, you fucking fucker." Corbyn says, "No, no, Eva, there's no need for any unpleasantness. There'll still be a role for you at my new look, Jestonbury. In its prison. Bragg, seize him."
Whoa.
Billy Bragg pulls out a taser, tasers Michael Eavis, drags his limp, twitching body off behind a tent somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Corbyn just pushes the steel measuring tape into me hand and says, "Go and get measuring. This stupid festival isn't going to improve itself." And I had to go off and measure Glastonbury.
Right. Well, wow. It's a lot to take in, Andy.
I know.
It's a lot to take in.
I think he's become a little bit more cocky since the election that he lost.
Like, he might even consider being honest. You know, isn't it?
Well, it's something to hope for.
In the near future, mightn't it?
It's something to hope for,
well,
isn't it?
I'll tell you what, Andrew.
Yes,
that is quite a lot to take in, that.
I mean, can I just say
that I thought it was a little bit like the first Star Wars, which I suppose you've not fucking seen.
No, I have seen it many times,
but
yeah.
But with the shrouded bit, when you walked up, you know, these are not the droids you're
exactly,
looking for.
And a little bit of violence as well.
So well done on that.
Thank you for that.
I'm just back from holiday, Andrew.
Are you?
Yes.
Where have you been, Bob?
I've been to the Forte village in Sardinia.
Oh.
Now, that is, I've got to be honest, it is posh, 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 right? It's like the poshest Butlins on earth.
Did you see anyone famous when you were there?
It's full of celebrities. It's for the first time I went there, I didn't go in, like, the celebrity end of it. The first time I went there, like, the football courses for the kids were being run by, get this, Didier Drogba... No, honestly, and Perlo.
Wow.
So it's right up there. They get free holidays. That's full of footballers, mainly Italian ones. But as you'll see, there's some British there because this, Andrew, is an episode of Gangs of the EPL.
Oh!
Right, so the really, really posh bit
has its own swimming pool and a little private beach, and that's where I'm staying, you see. It's always the footballers are there and lots of, like, Russian mafia types just ignoring the kids, you know.
Yeah.
And it's you like... It's
it sounds like my kids' school summer fair.
It's, well, it's a bit like Port Aventura, but just really posh. So, like,
money everywhere.
You when you have your buffet, you go Port Aventura. When you go Saloon,
round that way, yeah.
And it's buffet, isn't it?
All you can eat.
All you can eat. But where you go, it's like nuggets and chips. I'm just saying, it's nuggets and chips.
No, wrong with that, Bob.
No, but that's what it is, isn't
it? That's what it is, yeah.
But at this place, genuinely, it's like lobsters, snow
lobster
crabs,
nuggets,
langoustines, finest jambons, cheeses, wines, much as you need. It's and a piano player playing, and he stops as you reach one of the lobsters, the music stops, and then as you put it on your plate, it starts up again. Yeah. So anyway, so it's, I'm just saying, it's posh, posh, posh. You know what I mean? Anyway, my kids go straight off to water sports area like they do, and I go to the VIP pool. Yeah. At one end, there's a little kiosk selling drinks. Little cute, oldie-worldy little kiosk, you know, selling drinks and little ice creams, little snacks. And I hear a very familiar voice, quite loud. It's Harry Kane. Well, that's very upsetting. I very much wanted a lemon and lime Sprite. And you tell me you just saw the last one. I came here to relax and recuperate. And to be honest, I feel quite frustrated and down in the dumps. He's Harry, yeah, and he's wearing his Spurs kit, right, with the white naval captain's hat. It's just fun. It's lads on holiday, isn't it? Debbie Alley walks in with his Feel the Ferocious Heat t-shirt.
Yep.
He's got these candy stripes shorts with LED lights sewn into the hem, yeah?
Yep.
Bright orange flip-flops with gold straps and an LED watch embedded in the sole, yeah? He's got a disco ball baseball cap, yeah? And a tiger skin man bag in the shape of a pistol.
Ooh.
So he's dressed up for his holiday, right? Nice. Eric Dyer walks in. He's wearing a jumper and some slacks. Yeah? So
hot, was it?
So Harry, just give me a tomato juice. I'm too jittery now to take on anything fizzy. Debbie says, what's the matter, boss? You seem a bit down in the dumps and out of sorts, like you was hurting. Eric says, yes, you seem dejected, like a grieving bull. He says, it's nothing, guys. Just someone got the last lemon and lime pop. Let's not dwell on it. It's our holidays. Come on, let's start feeling some ferocious heat. So the three sun loungers just in front of me, right? I keep my face hidden by holding my hands and wrists in front of my face so they can't see me.
Very conspicuous.
Yeah, Eric starts playing fucking Fruit Ninja or some such shite on his phone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Harry takes his shirt off. I think, oh, they're going to relax. Debbie, will you rub some sun cream on my back? My mum said I have the type of skin that burns, and sun cream acts as a barrier to the very bad rays. Debbie says, yes, of course, boss. Sunburn can be very disagreeable. Some people say it's worse than a scald from a hot tap, which is very frightening and upsetting thought. So Debbie starts applying the cream. Harry says, you will need to put plenty on my chin. It often juts out from under the shadow of my cap or the sun brolly. Mum said that once when I was young, the tip of my chin actually set on fire, which was very inconvenient. It was poking out of the sunroof. It was poking out of the sunroof on our car when I was asleep on the back seat. Debbie says, that story has really rattled me. What a crummy thing to happen. To be honest, Harry, your mum is not entirely innocent. What was she thinking, ignoring you for so long that your chin set on fire? Then they hear a big splash and commotion in the pool. Oh, it's Santi Cazorla doing a dive bomb. Santi, hey guys, it's me, Santi. Come on in, it's a pool party. I got lilos, inflatables, drink holders, crazy fucking straws, beach balls. It's an unbelievable opportunity. Harry says, just ignore him. He clearly knows nothing about pool safety. And I can even see from here that his Brontosaurus ring is very overinflated. Debbie says, what an idiot. Look at him splashing damp water. Does he not realise it has chlorine in it and that can cause irritation to the eyes, which are absolutely vital for your sight? Eric says, can I play with Santi, please? No, you cannot, young man. He's a peaky gooner and as such is the personable non gratis. Eric says, but... Debbie, no, it's no buts, Eric. Have you not even seen the film Sleeping with the Enemy? Then Harry spots Phil Jones, you know, from Man United, on his own at the other end of the pool, and he's drinking a lemon and lime Sprite, and he beckons him over. Harry says, "Philip, would you like to play with Eric?" Philip says, "Yes, please." "Eric, would you like to play with Philip?" "Yes, please." Philip says to Eric, "What game it, sorry, what, how does he speak?"
"Ooh, Philip."
"Yeah."
"It's Charlie Williams."
"Don't you, what game?" "All right, dear. What game it, what game it you playing?"
"That's it."
"Fruit Ninja?" "Do you want a game?" "Yes, please." So Debbie says, "Would you like to swap your green drink for a bright red super drink?" "Yes, please," says Philip.
Harry "Very said, well-mannered."
"Nice one, Debbie. That's some ferocious heat you're flowing for sure." So Harry gets his green drink, because they've conned him, it's a superstar red drink. Yeah. So Harry gets his green drink. So that's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Now, it's only a little story, but...
Is that where it finishes?
Well, there's a little postscript, because Harry and Debbie went on the beach and left Phil and Eric by the pool.
Yeah.
Right? Santi put Black Mamba in the tomato juice and Philip ended up in A&E, right? But, Andy, isn't this nice? Eric sat with him all night.
That's lovely. Because nice? That kind of thing can happen on holiday.
Yeah.
It can be a bit intimidating, yeah. Kind of, but that's a good denouement.
Thank you very much. Did you think it was a bit like any film at all? I'm not even going to be specific.
It was a little bit like Sexy Beast.
Sexy Beast! It is, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It fucking is.
Yeah.
So,
because of the swimming pool. As you're obviously a big cheese in the TV industry, I was going to pitch another show idea that I've
Thank
got.
You.
Hopefully,
yeah, go
get some development money out of you. It's called Celebrity Pop-Up Animal Dentist.
Celebrity Pop-Up?
Pop-Up Animal Dentist.
Okay.
So you've got two teams of celebs, right? Yeah. And one team is humans that do dentistry challenges on animals.
Yeah.
And the other, the animals will be unconscious, obviously. And the other team is humans in animal costumes, and they do dentistry challenges on humans.
Right. Amateur dentistry show, then, really.
A what?
Amateur dentistry show.
Oh, amateur dentistry is the best kind of dentistry, I find.
I've seen,
for entertainment purposes.
I mean, I know, at the heart of it, there's something, Andy.
And I've got pop-up in the title as well, because
people
are into
that shit. That's just because you're fucking Metro Elite type character,
so
you?
I'm thinking usual lot. Paul Dunan.
Yeah.
A Towie, a Chelsea,
yeah.
That cunt off Big Brother, maybe Lionel Blair, Justin Leigh Collins, because he wouldn't need the costume, he could just be a lion.
Hey, good one.
What do you reckon?
Well, I like the idea of amateur dentistry, but I don't think it needs all the frou-frou around it, Andy.
Do you think there's too much frou-frou?
I wonder if it's illegal.
Should I lose the pop-up?
I used to do dentistry on myself, but lose the pop-up. Those are the animal heads.
Well, if it's illegal...
And just call it amateur dentistry frenzy or something.
If there's a legal problem, we could maybe do it at sea. And that would enhance it. Like right. Love Island.
Yeah. All aboard and all that,
but
yeah.
But like the pirate radio ships of the 60s.
Yeah, and the presenter could be the captain with the captain's hat on and everything.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
A big bulge in his pants.
Yeah, Jimmy Carr. So that's celebrity pirate animal dentistry.
I'm going to ask you to come back, maybe do a sheet of F4, get rid of the frou-frou, though, yeah?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Ding-dong, landlord here. Hey, soz renter, but I'm going to have to dig up the front garden. I need the topsoil for a chamomile lawn I'm laying in honour of my daughter's pony. Ding-dong, landlord here. I've had a complaint from a neighbour about the smell of feces coming from your house. I told them not to worry. It's just you shitting yourself about your rent arrears. Ding dong, landlord here. I'm afraid you'll have to check into B&B for a couple of nights. I need your house for the murder mystery dinner party. You see, the murder takes place in a downtown shithole, so this is perfect. Ding dong, landlord here. I'm expecting some posts from the council about upgrading the insulation on the house. I want you to open it, take a shit in the envelope, and post it to Finland. Ding dong, landlord here. Hey, renter, I picked up this leaflet about assisted suicide. I thought you might be interested. So that's the landlord there.
Have you got a South Africa story for us, Bob?
Yeah, I have.
While we're ploughing through everything.
When I was in South Africa, you know, I was staying at what you might call a reserve, you know, like a game reserve.
Yeah.
So you have these separate little huts and a central building where they cook the food and a bar and that. So I got back from filming, I was really sweaty and tired, you know, really hard days filming.
Hard work, proper graft, yeah.
And so I got my mail. It's always, Andy, it's always ostrich out there, just cooking out with ostrich.
It's nice, the ostrich.
It's all right, but a bit tough the way they cooked it. Some potatoes and some ratatouille. And next to my actual, so I took it back to the hut. It was too hot, and I went back to my hut. And next to it, there was this like big tarpaulin on poles, and there were some crates under it. It was like a temporary thing, not a building, you know. But I thought it might be a bit cooler than my hut, which was like a freaking oven.
Yeah,
but the sun beating down it all day. When I say it was like an oven, and it didn't have like an ignition button or shelves or anything.
Right.
It was really hot.
Was it self-cleaning?
So I go into the shelter. There's a bloke in there. I ain't freaking seen him. But I'm too embarrassed just to walk straight out. So I sit down on the box, and he comes up and he says, "Which hut is your accommodation?" No, that's absolutely wrong, isn't it? South Africa. Which hut is your accommodation? Oh, no. Which hut? No, I'm absolutely wrong, aren't I?
You've spunked it.
South Africa. Which hut? Which? Nah, we're going to have to abandon it, I think. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, right, I'll do a Scottish tale.
Have you got a Scottish song for us to finish on, Bob?
Mary. Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Mary Forsyth was 19 years old and had just given birth to a baby daughter. The child was fathered by the laird, for as with every girl on the island, she had spent the night of her 18th birthday in his arms. Mary had been excused duties for the first 6 months postpartum, but tomorrow she would return to oat-numbering duties and her daughter would be handed over to the laird's fierce handmaid, Mistress Panko. Mm. Mary lived in the servitude of the laird, and not wanting the same fate to befall her daughter, was determined to escape to the mainland. She had, during the previous week's delivery, handed a note to one of the mainland stevedores requesting help. Mulcrum Cove, same time next week, he had mumbled. The day arrived, and Mary sat atop Mulcrum Cove, babe in arms, thinking about how life might be on the mainland. She saw herself strolling around the local retail park. First stop, Halfords, where she would get giddy laughing at the curious and outlandish in-car air fresheners in shapes and flavours she had never thought it necessary to imagine. Bacon and handrail, summer and turkey, night fats, Todd Factory. Then over to Costa Coffee for a hot chocolate and some oaty porridge. The very purpleness of her surroundings caused her to flush with excitement. Removing her cardigan, it would be plain for all to see that she had plenty surplus tut to spare, an amount not to be measured in hands, but in buckets or saucepans. A handsome student would approach her and share her table, struggling to balance his iPad at the correct angle, he would ask, "I see a lassie. I've damaged the wee hinge on my iPad holder and wondered if you could help." "Och, that's a cautionary tale for the reckless," she would say. "Would you like to balance it against my mug? I can provide extra ballast by placing the mug inside my porridge bowl." "It's a fine idea, lassie, but I couldn't help notice that you are very affluent of tit, and if you were to lean forward over the table slightly, it would provide a mattress of support from my pad." I am wealthy in the tit bank," she would say. "But surely it's a bit forward of you to ask for its expanse as a buttress. I would surely be justified in asking you for some form of payment in return. Maybe you would like to play a tune on my personal pipe." And even as he said it, he felt his private hose swell against the packet of Hall's menthol in his chino's pocket. A cherry riff, such a plump up volley of day, went to banger. A cheery riff, such as pump up the volume of the day we went to banger. Then she was pulled from this reverie by the sound of her baby's tears. A glance at her watch told her it was time for her escape. Racing onto the beach, she saw the small motorboat approach. She placed the babe inside the plastic panniers she had recovered from the Lambretta scooter that fell down on the island many years ago. Then the boat was upon her, and its navigator was no the stevedore she had spoken to, but looked kind enough. "What do you have in there, lassie?" "Apart from about an acre or so of surplus tut." "It's naught but supplies for my journey. Oats, oat cakes, oaty bars and some oaty drink." "Aye, well, you'll not be needing that, lassie." He grabbed the panniers and threw them into the ocean. Then he turned around and took down his hood.
Mary died in an instant at what she saw, for this was no a man, but the Laird's giant attack otter, Cullock, and on the reverse of its head was the face of Robert Peston. The face of Robert Peston. So that's it.
And that's
I just wanted to say, Andy, that I didn't... The baby's now floating in the panniers, so we can hope that maybe that little baby does make it to the mainland.
Perhaps we'll find out next time.
I'm not saying that necessarily.
16 years from now or something.
Yeah.
Just a reminder again that we're on in Brighton, Bristol and Leicester at the end of the month. Go to athleticomince.com
for
all the ticket information. It is superb, isn't it? Singing. If we were in it, I think we would probably get front row seats and watch
it. It's the best comedy show currently. I mean, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, no bullshit, it is.
No bullshit.
It's really good.
So come along, have a look. So thank you, Andy. I've got to go. Get out of London. And go and watch the reruns of the rugby. Love that.
Oh, the rugby.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of the rugby.
See ya.
See ya, Bob.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.